Good morning. I'm Ron Travis, and Mike is out of town. And since he is out of town, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. We're going to bring food into the auditorium during the worship service. And I have brought several bags of marshmallows, and I assume most of you like white, fluffy, tasty marshmallows. And I have some volunteers back here, and they're going to hand you a marshmallow. Take just one, please, okay? And then I ask my volunteers, when they're done, to bring the rest of their bag up here and pour them in my nice bowl full of marshmallows. So I'll give you a second to do that. Does everyone have his or her marshmallow? Okay, hold them up. Okay. Now just hang on to it. And please don't eat it. You can hold it. You can set it up on the back of the pew in front of you if you wish. You can kind of set it in one of those little three rings where the communion cups might rest. Lay it down beside you on your pew. You can do whatever you want to with it. Be creative. Don't eat it. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been tempted by something? Now come on, be honest. You say, Ron, of course. Probably every day we have been tempted. So here's another question. How are you doing at handling those temptations? I want you to remember that little marshmallow that you have in your hand. And I want you to watch the short video.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one. So then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. So I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do?
Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
So what did you think of that video? Could you, as a four-year-old, resisted eating the marshmallow, knowing that you would get a second marshmallow if you just waited till the lady came back? Maybe the bigger question to ask today is, can you resist eating your marshmallow if I promise you that at the end of the service, you can have all you want out of my big bowl of marshmallows? I love this video. Perhaps you've seen it before. There have been many versions of it over the years, but I think you might be interested in knowing that it came from an original study that took place way back in the 1970s by a bunch of psychologists from Stanford University. And they performed an experiment on four-year-olds that they called the marshmallow test. And you saw a very abbreviated version of what that might have been, but the original test had the kids do much more. It placed the kids in a room one at a time, and a psychologist came in who had a big bag of marshmallows. And for about 30 minutes, asked questions of the child, and anytime the child would have a reasonably good answer, she or he would reward that child with another marshmallow. So, in a sense, they were priming the pump, if you know what I mean. But the real test came about a half hour, as I said, into it, when there was a prearranged knock on the door, and someone would come and call the researcher away, and just as the researcher was going to leave, they would turn to the child and say, "I've got to go run an errand. And I'm going to leave a marshmallow right here on the table in front of you. And if you don't eat the marshmallow while I'm gone, when I get back, I'll give you two. But if you eat the marshmallow, that's the only one you got to get." Now, we saw what these kids done. This was actually performed in a church here in more recent times. But in the original one, they did just what these kids do, what all kids do. They looked at it, they kissed it, they smelled it, One of them even licked the table around it, I guess thinking that the smell or the taste would be on the table. What was Thomas Paine's famous words? Let me modify it. These must have been the times that tried children's souls. And I guess a marshmallow test would be an ultimate test between impulse and resistance and desire and self-control and gratification and delay. And these kids would develop all of these strategies to be able to cope with it. They'd sing these songs. They'd tell themselves stories. They'd sit on their hands. They'd dance around the room just so they could resist the temptation to bite a white fluffy marshmallow. But what I was really amazed about in this marshmallow test is what it revealed about the direction that these children would take later on in life. You see, they continued, this research team, to track these child all the way through adolescence and even into adulthood, and they found that those children, as four-year-olds, who were able to resist and to wait, grew up to be more socially competent, better able to cope with stress, less likely to give up under pressure than those who just popped the marshmallow into their mouth and went on their merry way. In fact, they found that kids who resisted taking the marshmallow at four-year-old ended up with an average score of 210 more points on their SAT score as they exited high school. And the other kids, what do we call them, the non-waiters, the marshmallow grabbers, they grew up to be more stubborn, more indecisive, more easily upset by frustration, more resentful by not having enough in life, and years later they even found that many of these marshmallow grabbers were still unable to control self-gratification. And their poor impulses and their ability to control themselves led to delinquency, to substance abuse, to divorce, to all kinds of problems. I read all of that about the marshmallow test, and I said, you know, there's a lesson in there, not only for four-year-olds. There's a lesson in there for us, a lesson for the church. I said, I can make that lesson long, I can make it very detailed, I can make it very boring, or I can just simply put it into a couple of points with the hope that you will remember those two. So, just 2 points this morning. And they're both simple and obvious. The first is this: we are all tempted. And the second is, there is a greater reward to those who overcome temptation. Let's think about the first one. We are all tempted. As I look back before I retired, I preached a couple thousand sermons. I taught a couple thousand Bible studies. I wore out several Bibles. And all of that study, what did I learn? Simply this: we all have our weaknesses. The one thing, or maybe more than that, that's really hard for us to resist. And I found that the people in the Bible are just like us. Even the so-called great ones all had their moments of temptation. And many of those couldn't resist. Go back to the very beginning. Do you remember Adam and Eve? Eve there looked up while she stood in the Garden of Paradise, the Garden of Eden, and there was a tree full of marshmallows. So tasty. And the serpent says, if you just eat one, little bite out of this marshmallow, you can be like God. She was tempted. She couldn't resist. So she took a bite. Sin entered the world for the first time. I'll remember David, King David, just taking a stroll one day on his rooftop patio, smelling the fresh air, looking at the stars overhead. Until he looked down over the edge of his house, there on the roof of his neighbor's house, was his marshmallow. Beautiful gal, taking a bath. He's king. And he says, I want her. And because he's king, he could take her. And he did. That was adultery, and it led to murder. Oh, we could go on and on. Even the simple ones. Do you remember Lot's wife? They were scattering themselves out of town before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, don't look back. She looked back. Her marshmallow was her lifestyle, her house, her friends that she was leaving behind. She turned and looked where she was forbidden to look, and she became a pillar of salt. We all seen the movies about Samson. Oh, his marshmallow. Oh, with the charms and the games of a beautiful Delilah. He could overcome, he thought. Ah, what a tasty marshmallow. He yielded. He lost his hair. He lost his strength. He lost his life. You might not be familiar, but there's a man named Achan that's in the scripture. His temptation was clothes, a beautiful robe from Babylon. God said, when you go and possess this city, I want you to destroy everything that's there. But he wanted the clothes, some gold, some silver, so he stole that which was to have been destroyed, and he hid it. He lost his precious garment. He lost his gold, his silver, his possessions, his life, the lives of his sons and of his daughters, and it even caused great wrath on the children of Israel. Even Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. The scripture goes into great deal to tell us how the devil 3 times tried to tempt the Lord with marshmallow after marshmallow after marshmallow. Just yield. Just give in. Just bow the devil argued. But Jesus did not yield to Satan. You have your Bibles, I want you to find them. I think one of the most thought-provoking scriptures in the Bible is found in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 15. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, where it says that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are. I read that and I said, in all points, like you and me are tempted? Oh, come on, you don't even know what those points are. He was tempted with that marshmallow too. We can read a lot of scripture this morning about temptation. But I think there's one we really need to remember. Turn with me over to the book of James, to chapter 1. Just a couple of verses in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Listen to what it says. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. I say, if those that we read about in the Bible were tempted to eat their marshmallow, you bet we're going to be tempted as well. And God knows that. Remember what I call the model prayer, the world calls it the Lord's Prayer. It's really not that many words in that little prayer that he gave us as a model of what to pray about. But these words, and you can find them over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, they ring a bell here this morning as we think about these marshmallows. He says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yeah. Do we ever need to be led out of temptation and delivered from the evil one? You remember the last time you were tempted? It wasn't that long ago, was it? What was it that turned your head? What was it that bubbles up your spine? What was it that made you kind of tingle all over, hair stand on the back of your neck? Was it that hunk that was jogging around the block, maybe with his shirt on? Was it that good-looking gal, that marshmallow you saw, maybe not on the rooftop, but shopping in the mall? Maybe it was something that you saw in a movie or on television. Yeah, even on television. Or you viewed on the internet. Maybe it's that shiny car that's sitting in the showroom or in your neighbor's driveway. Maybe it's that jewelry that you've been drooling over. Maybe it's the seemingly unimportant temptation of that chocolate cake sitting on the table just crying out to you, eat me, eat me, eat me. You know, temptations can come in lots of different forms, but they can be really, really bad if we bite and it leads us into sin. Pick up the paper, turn on the news, listen to the radio. It's all around us in every way. They're teachers having sex with students. There are government officials that are having affairs. There are people who are spies in our country that are selling all of our secrets to the enemy. They're stealing right and left. Got a new credit card this week. Somebody was buying groceries in Kroger in Dallas. I don't go in Dallas to a Kroger and buy groceries. I live in San Antonio. Temptation is everywhere, and it is about everything, and it touches all of us. Let me summarize my first point. Simply stated, we are all tempted. This sermon's about me and about you. The second point this morning. There is a greater reward to those who overcome temptation. There is hope. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's look together in chapter 10, one verse, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, the devil knows which buttons to push in your life. But the Holy Spirit here, speaking through the Apostle Paul, says that nothing that the devil tempts us with is so strong that we can't resist it. There will be a way, it says, provided by God that will allow us to turn away from the temptation, allow us to get out, or allow us to bear it without biting the marshmallow. I look back at that video and I say, well, sometimes life puts us in circumstances where we can't leave the room. Maybe we even have to sit in the chair behind the desk or at the table. Maybe we have to look at our marshmallow all day long, every day. Maybe we squirm in our seats. Maybe we wring our hands. Maybe we lick the table. Sniff and smell. It may be so strong. We even have to squeeze it, kiss it. But we can resist enough to not bite into what the devil wants us to eat. I wish Paul told us more. You know, he really didn't say it would be easy. He didn't even give us a hint as to how God is going to be faithful in helping us to resist what the devil puts before us. And I don't know all the ways that God may intervene. But I do know, when we go back to that story of Jesus being tempted three times in the wilderness, that in each occasion, after the temptation, the Lord turned to the devil and quoted Scripture. I think surely we can say that God speaks to us through His Word. So the more we read this book, the more we study and meditate on His Word, the more we know about how He wants us to live, the more we associate with those who share the like precious faith, the more we know about the reward that waits us at the end, the more we'll be able, the easier it will become for us not to bite into our marshmallow. I think we can say, surely that prayer is helpful. We read those words of the model prayer. And at the end of that, it seems to imply that we can resist if we pray that we're not led into temptation. Remember, shortly, Jesus was going to be taken to the cross. And he ends up going to the Garden of Gethsemane with some of his precious disciples. And he leaves them at the entrance so he can go in alone to pray to his Father. And he turns to each of them and he says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Well, they were surely tempted to sleep. Some of us are like that. That's a big marshmallow in my life as I get older. Both Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record those words. Watch and wait lest you enter into temptation. But then Jesus goes on to say this, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't we know it? I love to read what Paul writes, and over in the book of Romans in the 7th chapter, though he's writing to us and to those of his day, he's really arguing with himself. And if you want to turn over there, I'm just going to paraphrase what it says in Romans 7. He basically says, I know what I ought to do. But I don't always do it. I know how to do good, but sometimes I do bad. I have this war within me, he says. What do you want? Good versus bad, or good versus evil, right versus wrong, the devil versus God? He says, I'm a wretched man. How do I win? That's exactly what we have every day when we are faced with the marshmallow in front of us. He gives the answer. He says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We overcome. We resist. We outweigh the devil's temptation by focusing upon Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now for a final scripture. It's the bowl full of marshmallows. Turn with me, if you would, over to James again, chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. A crown of life if you can resist eating the marshmallow that the devil places in front of you every day. And I'm telling you now, whatever that marshmallow might be, however good looking it is, however tasty it might have been, however it lights your fire, however it tingles you, no matter how great it may seem, it is nothing in this life that is good as the crown of life that the Lord gives those who patiently wait, enduring eternally in the holy, heavenly city of God. Ah, it's tempting. Don't eat the marshmallow temptation in your hand. There's a greater reward if you can wait. This morning we're going to sing a song of invitation. Christ says, I want to help you resist doing wrong. He says, come to me through faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins, change the direction of your life? Are you willing to come up here and confess your faith? Are you willing to be immersed, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Because when you rise up, you're a new creature in Christ. The sins of the past are washed away. But you have to live the Christian life. Because the marshmallow of the devil will always be there. Come if you will, as we stand and sing together.